Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Looking at prayer once again, the topic of prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6, 9. The Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Well, we've been looking at this passage. Number one, we saw that we must personally know God as our Father. If we are to pray, verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven," then we have to be saved. We have to know God as our Father through Jesus Christ. Number two, we saw we need to truly fear or revere God and His name in verse 9. "Hallowed be thy name." We saw that last week. So much all around his name is profaned or said in vain and not hallowed. Number three tonight, a new point tonight. We need to truly desire that God would reign, not only in the future, but also right now. We need to truly desire that God would reign, not only in the future, but also right now. Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Just three words, first of all, and then there's a period. "Thy kingdom come," period. It's like just three words, but stop and think. "Thy kingdom come." What would it be like if Jesus was ruling and reigning right now? "Thy kingdom come." It'd be a lot different than it is in our country, that's for sure. But, you know, the Jews were looking for the same thing. They were looking for the kingdom to come. They're looking for the king to come, but they were not ready. In fact, it was prophesied they would not be ready. If you hold your place here, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. It was prophesied that they would not be ready, and they were not. The point is would we be? You know, we talk about, I can't wait till the Lord comes. Can't wait to go to be with the Lord. Is that true? I mean, it's easy to say, but is that really true? Malachi 3 and verse 1. The Bible prophesied here, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like what? Fuller's soap." The closest I can, after reading about Fuller's soap, the closest I can imagine to it is the wash lady down in Haiti that Brother Wall hires. When we went down there on a missions trip to do the cement for the Bible Institute, I went down there with some brand new socks. And when I come back, they were like pilled looking. I mean, they looked like they'd been through a washer, but it was hand washing. And wow, Brother Wall said she got stuff clean. And I believe that. Just on an old scrub board out there in the yard is what she would use. So the Bible talks about here, the Messiah is going to come. But verse 2, "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth?" And then it talks like he's like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Well, what does soap do? It cleanses, doesn't it? Soap cleanses. And that's what he would do. Like soap, Jesus had to come to his temple and cleanse it. Notice in John chapter 2. And they were not ready for his cleansing. You know, it's kind of, you know, when you see something regularly, you're kind of used to it. So, you know, like maybe the walls in our homes, you know, we may freshly paint them and then they just gradually get dirty and gradually get marked up. And the carpet is clean, but then it just gradually gets dirty. You get used to all those things. And then suddenly you think, wow, like maybe you move a rug and then you see what the carpet color really was like. Or just suddenly you notice the wall, wow, I need to paint that wall. They were not ready for this coming. In John 2 and verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So verse 11, this was the beginning of his miracles in Galilee. So this is the beginning of his ministry, earthly ministry. So I want you to note that in regard to what's going to happen. Verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of what? Merchandise. So if it's being sold, it's not ministry, it's merchandising. Okay? If it's not free, it's merchandise. If you're selling it, it's merchandise. And Jesus did not want that going on in his house. So right at the beginning of his ministry, he cleansed the temple. He got rid of all that buying and selling out of his house. How did the Jews respond? Well, you look at John chapter 2, verse 18 here. John 2, 18, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? So they're saying to him, Jesus, we are in charge here, not you. So what sign are you showing us that you're changing everything here? You know, we allowed this in the temple. We allowed this buying and selling, and they justified it by the Old Testament passage talking about, you know, if you're a great distance from the temple, it was okay to sell your things and then to go to the temple area and buy animals and sacrifice them. But God never meant them to do it in the temple. And so it's like, Jesus, who gave you the authority? What sign do you show us that you're greater than us? Show us a sign. Show us your authority. In fact, they'll say that later on to him. By what authority do you do these things? So I want you to notice this was at the beginning of his earthly ministry, verse 11 there. It was when he first did those miracles. But you know what? As time goes on, they start doing the same thing again. So before he left this earth, look at Matthew 21. He did it again. Only this time it was in the last week of his ministry, earthly ministry. Matthew 21, verse 1. Matthew 21, 1. Just so they would know he did not approve of what they were doing, he cleansed it again. Now, we know this is at the end of his ministry because this is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as well as we're at Matthew 21. But verse 1, and when they drew nigh into Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and what? Cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So he did the same thing. So the Jews questioned him then in verse 23. Matthew 21:23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what? By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? So when he first did it, they're questioning him, okay, we're the leaders here. Show us a sign, you know, if you're from God, if you're taking over, where's the sign? Now they're at the end of his ministry, he did it again. He cleansed the temple. He was that like that fuller soap. And they're saying, who gave you this authority? All they know is they didn't do it. Who gave you this authority? So the prophecy was correct. They were not ready for the Messiah. Notice in John chapter 11, the fact of the matter is they were very comfortable in their positions. And they didn't want anything upsetting it. In John 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both what? Our place and nation. So they're worried, first of all, about their positions. Hey, if all people believe on him, the Romans are going to come and they're going to take away our place, our positions that we have, our comfortable way of living, and our nation. They're going to take away our nation. Notice in Matthew chapter 23, yeah, they were comfortable all right. You know, he called what they were doing. They'd made the temple a den of thieves. So obviously, they were making out well on selling their cattle and different animals for sacrifice. But in Matthew 23, the Lord's talking to the Pharisees, and this is what they were like and what they were doing. Matthew 23:1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They had a high position. Verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye what? After their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. See their comfortable position? And greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They had all this prestige and respect. And then Jesus continues on here to rebuke them. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour what? Widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. They devoured widows' houses. You know, many times in the ministry, when someone passes away, you know, they, if they're a Christian, they call for a preacher to come and pray. But you know what? That's the time when, if a person is like a Balaam, that's the time when they show their greed. You know, many times widows don't know the value maybe of their husband's tools or a number of things. And you know, someone that is greedy can really take advantage of someone at that time. And that was prophesied in Malachi chapter 3, and they fulfilled it in Matthew 23:14. They were devouring widows' houses. So, back in Matthew 6 and verse 10, Matthew 6:10. So we're on this point. We need to truly desire that God would reign, not only in the future, but also now. So if we say, and we should say, you know, I can't wait till the Lord comes, you know, our redemption draweth nigh. We should be watching, waiting for him, anticipating his coming. But it should affect the way we're living. And if we truly desire Christ's kingdom, we don't have to wait for it. He can rule and reign right now. And look in Luke 17. Luke 17. And the question is he in our lives? If we say we can't wait for his coming, are we participating in something that we know will not be so in heaven? Well, then we're kind of hypocritical, are we not? If I'm saying I can't wait for the Lord to come, and yet if I am participating in something in my life that is would not be present in heaven because it's just not right, then why am I participating in that? God doesn't approve of that. It's not going to be in heaven. I shouldn't be. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what?
Observation.
So you don't have to, you know, get up every morning and look this afternoon. I think it was right about noon, maybe a little before noon, but I just happened to go get some water, and I looked out the kitchen window, and there was a big buck back there. I could see, we, without binoculars, it had a big rack. So I got out the binoculars, and wow, you know, just long tines. It was an 8-point and big, all you deer hunters, you know, big rack sticking way out there, all alone, just wandering around in the middle of the day. Well, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Well, what then? Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Is within you. We don't have to just say, oh, I wish the Lord would come today. I wish the Lord was ruling and reigning. You know what? He wants to right now. And he can right now, if we so desire him in our lives. He can have our hearts thrown. We should be experiencing his rule and reign within us right now. And so as we go back to our prayer verse, Matthew 6:10. So as we pray, thy kingdom come, in Matthew 6:10, we pray, thy kingdom come, and then what? Thy will be done as it is in heaven. Do we really want that? I hope we do, but that is a hypocritical prayer on our part, and that's one of the reasons we should pray it. Because, you know, it's hard to pray something that's hypocritical, isn't it? It's hard to pray something every day if we're not doing it. So if we're not letting him rule and reign, if there are things in our lives that are not pleasing to God, then it's really hard to say, it's really hard to pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will poke us then and prod us of our sin. Because And John 16, verse 8, he'll convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the point is we need to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And every day, that ought to make us ask ourselves the question. I'm saying I really want him to come. Am I really living like that? Am I doing things in my life right now that I know the Lord Jesus would not approve of, and I know things like that will not go on in heaven? Then that's hypocritical to pray that, but the Holy Spirit can convict our hearts. And I pray that we could say it in truth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that we would not be hypocritical like the Pharisees in this regard. Father, we know you do want us to anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus. And that if we have that hope in us, every person that has that hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure, because we're anticipating his coming. And we don't want to be caught doing something that displeases you. So, Father, please help us to be faithful in our praying, and may it be a purifying effect in our lives, that we just couldn't stand the hypocrisy of praying that and not living it as well. So, Lord, please help us. Father, if there should be any here tonight that have never been saved, I pray you'd help them to realize tonight that Jesus does want to save them, that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood was indeed sufficient to wash away our sin, because the wages of our sin is death, and death could not hold him because he paid that price. Father, I pray you'd help us as Christians to draw nigh to you and to be faithful in praying. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, on those thoughts, let's turn to 380.